The following podcast may contain adult language and an abundance of knots. So get ready, nerds, because we're talking Season 2, Episode 1.
Chet, chet.
Chet, chet, chet.
Chet, chet.
Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Salty Nerd Podcast. Today we are going to be talking about our favorite TV show, Season 2, Episode 1. Heavy spoilers. Be prepared for that. If you haven't seen the show already, go to Apple TV Plus and watch it. Come back, watch this review, because we're going to have a ton of fun talking about it. I am joined, as always, by my fantastic panel of nerds, starting with Matt Vader 74. What's up, bro?
Bro.
It has been a long time.
This is like the best thing on streaming right now, right? Am I wrong?
For us.
I mean, this is
like a legacy show.
It is.
We have been waiting to do this for a long time. This is like the first show that we took seriously on the podcast, and then we realized we really screwed up.
Such a bonkers show. And man, they listened to us.
They kind of did.
They kind of did, right? It's like these salty nerds, they got some shit to say about our show. And we're gonna fix it.
Yeah. And you know what? We're here for it, guys.
Yeah.
We are here to shill your show for you.
Goddamn right.
It's a good freaking show.
I ask the queen. She didn't even pray this episode.
I was disappointed.
I was a little disappointed.
I was hoping she was going to teach Magra how to pray.
If they don't pray pretty soon, I'm going to be a little upset. It's like they need to like flick some beans. You know, it's just like. Wow.
I'm also joined by Jude.
Hello.
Ambassador of estrogen, an expert prayer to the gods herself. Welcome.
Just been flicking it.
Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
This is all because of you. I think the enjoyment that we get out of this show is 90% Jude.
It's because we have a girl on the show?
No, it's because Jude was like so in love with it.
I cannot completely take credit for this. I have to give equal credit to also a very low cut dress and a bottle of tequila.
Shout out to the bottle of tequila. Also joining us, Matthew Kadish, producer of the show. Welcome, sir.
I am so ready to talk about this. So the first season came out at the end of 2019. So it's been quite a hiatus in between.
What a journey.
In between these seasons. So we just released our full season one recap not too long ago.
Today, actually.
We went through all 8 episodes of the first season, every ridiculous thing that this show did. Mm-hmm. And so we were doing this in anticipation of season 2. And the first episode did not disappoint.
I think it disappointed Kadish a little bit because he's mad that it's better.
I am. I really am.
Can you tell? You said the funniest freaking thing after, because Jude, me, and Kadish all watched the first episode together.
We had some pizza and beers.
Yeah. And at the end of the episode, when the credits rolled, we all kind of looked at each other like, what did you think? Kadish said something freaking hilarious. Can you say tell the people what you said after the episode ended?
I don't remember what I said.
You said this show is less fun when it's not as stupid.
That's the long and short of it is that they're sucking the fun out of it by making it better. Because what made the first season so much fun was how ridiculously stupid it was. But we
still loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the stupidity of it because like I could bitch about it. and now they're starting to like wise up and be like, oh, we should probably fix some of these issues.
Okay, but there were several things that you said, I want the show to do this, this, and this.
And in the first episode, they did it. They exactly the things that we complained about, like world building, and why is this like this? And what's the reason behind this?
And Kofun being useless.
They explain everything.
He's still useless.
He's still a weak bitch.
And we're all on board with it in the story. They make it a part of the show now that Kofun is useless. And I love it. I'm so here for it.
So before we really dive into this, guys, I just want everybody who's listening to know, if you're a super fan of the show, God forbid, if you're somebody who made the show and you're watching this, we love this show.
We fucking love
it.
We do.
Even though we talk shit and we make fun of some things.
We're salty nerds, okay?
We love this stupid show. And this season so far, this first episode has really set the bar high for the second season. So I'm super excited. So before we dive into it, spoiler warning going forward, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages and we're going to get into it.
And Kadish is going to break everything down.
Oh, thanks for the reminder.
Bank of Clark County has a comprehensive suite of solutions for your personal and business needs. We offer banking, lending services, and wealth management services with the best-in-class customer service you'd expect from a community bank. Whether you need a checking or savings account, a mortgage or home equity line of credit, a business loan, or to set up a trust or investment account, Bank of Clark County can help. Bank of Clark County. Big Bank Solutions. Community Bank Service. And we've just opened a branch at 530 Blackwell Road in Warrenton. Member FDIC. Equal Housing Lender.
Planning on traveling this summer? Make saving at the pump part of your plans with 2x the fuel points from Harris Teeter. It's easy. Download your eVic coupon, and for every dollar you spend with your Vic card, you'll get 2 fuel points. That's up to $1 per gallon on quality fuel at participating BP and Harris Teeter fuel centers. Download your eVic coupon today and save money at the pump all summer long with eVic and Harris Teeter fuel points.
Welcome back, everybody. If you want to support the podcast and talk about C with us, go to saltynerdclub.com, join the Patreon, join our Discord server, hop in there and help support the podcast. Our main goal, our milestone that we're trying to reach is 50 Patreon subscribers. If we can get there, that'd be fantastic. Overall goal, if you can help us get it, share with your friends. We'd like to get to the point where Vader and I don't have to have our stupid day jobs anymore.
I promise you we'll be fine.
And we can do this full time and make more content for you because we have all kinds of ideas that we just can't do don't have the time.
I would probably like show my butt and stuff on screen.
Oh, yeah. People will definitely pay for that.
We'll start an OnlyFans for you.
Oh, OnlyFans for me? Yeah. All right. Because I'm fat.
You can show it. You just can't touch it while you're showing it.
Right? What is happening right now? I don't know.
I'm drunk, dude.
SaltyNerdClub.com. Join our Patreon, help support the podcast. All right, Mr. Kadish, what is this first episode all about? Take it away, sir.
So this is the first episode of season 2 entitled Brothers and Sisters. And the overall kind of synopsis of this episode is that Baba Voss ventures into hostile territory in search of Hanawa. Queen Kane consecrates a new Payan capital and makes a surprising announcement. Okay, so this episode happens approximately 1 month since the end of season 1.
Okay.
And by the way, fun fact, Jude and I discovered last night that 200 years has passed since the virus showed up.
Oh, so we have a time frame now?
Yeah, so...
That's propaganda!
According to the Hollywood Reporter and according to the show, because Queen Kane says that it was her great-grandfather, her grandfather, her father, and then her. So 4 generations.
Yeah, but there were like 20 headbusts of leaders of the clan on the...
Oh, well, maybe they weren't all leaders. So who knows? It could have been the family of Kane, but...
I think that's a thing that they went back and decided after they filmed the first season.
Well, if you think about it, four generations could easily fit into 200 years.
Listen, here's what it was. They listened to our show. And 100%. They go, you know what? They're right.
Yeah.
It can't be 600 years.
It can't be that long because water bottles do not. they will all be gone by the time that we're thinking they are.
Yeah.
But also for the amount of information to have gotten lost, that there's never been a sighted person. That's heresy. I don't believe that would happen in just 200 years.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, like the whole change of society. Like if you think about it, 200 years ago is... roughly like, you know, the United States start.
Yeah.
I would be much more, they should have gone like 500.
Exactly.
Because everybody knows that if you go 5,000 years, everything's gone.
Yeah.
The earth takes it back over.
Except for the water bottles.
Except, and the tires. Except
for Mount Rushmore, according to that show on History Channel.
Oh yeah, I watched that too.
What's that show?
I don't remember what it's called.
You know, five days after humanity.
Yeah, ends. Yeah. Oh, that's right.
One year after, 5 years after. That's a great show if you haven't seen it. But everybody knows that the only thing left after 5,000 years, because the earth takes it back, is stuff that's been carved into mountainsides, right? Yeah. Even the Las Vegas Strip is gone 5,000 years. Mm-hmm. So like 500, 600 years. Okay, let's go there. You know what I mean? Because we're still going to have the buildings and all the steels and shit. And
officially, 200 years, according to the show.
That's news to me, but okay.
Not like they've never come out and said it's been 200 years, but according to the Hollywood Reporter, it's 200 years. And the Cain family, you know, four generations kind of roughly fits into that. So if you figure two rulers within 100 years of each other.
Does it state whether or not there was like some kind of a war beforehand that would like make the cities?
It was just the plague.
Yeah, that's all it was.
Well, that's all we've gotten.
Okay.
Like they could add in new stuff.
Oh, I need some backstory. The Trevant.
There was a virus that was developed in a lab in China. and it got crazy.
Everybody took the vaccine and everything.
Blind.
Yeah. Side effect, the 0.08% side effects was blindness. And it's
right.
Whatever.
That's right.
I made the mistake of asking a question on my Facebook yesterday about the booster shot. People started just fighting and I had to
get it. Get them all. Every time they say it, just go get it. Just keep on injecting it.
All right. Back to C.
Sorry. I'm the terrible host right now. Go ahead, Kadesh. Take it away.
So the show opens with Baba Voss and Kofun ambushing a Trevantian patrol. And Baba Voss schools Kofun before leaving him behind with Paris to go rescue Hanawa from the Trevantes.
So I love
that
this scene.
Gnarly.
Dude. I love when Baba Voss is like, put your hands with my hands. And he teaches them what it feels like to kill a man.
Yeah. Dude.
That was awesome.
Yes, because hardcore. The last season we were all basically like, Tofu is basically kind of a piece of shit.
Tofu. I want to stop because Matt went to the first scene of the show.
Yeah.
Which is cool. But I was sold on this thing.
Oh, the opening credits?
Credits.
The new intro is awesome.
The music is good. Mm-hmm. The new animation is good.
Yep. So good.
I hated the first season.
The whole like, and it was like echoed.
I hated that.
Really subdued.
I skipped the intro every single time.
Okay, mm-hmm. I kind of liked it.
But the new intro is fire.
Yeah.
It is really good.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I just want to like point that out.
Yes.
Watch the credits. Watch the intro credits, at least the first time you watch this show, because it is really cool.
And it gives you information, too. Yes. Like we have confirmation that this is in Pittsburgh now.
Yeah, so, we figured that out.
That's freaking hilarious.
I know we did.
We figured that out.
We did that shit out season one.
Yeah, we know what your fucking damn is. You're goddamn right we do. Yeah.
So I was watching this, and that was the first thing that you and I noticed, or I'm sure Kadesh did, too. We were like, holy shit, they upgraded the freaking opening credits. Yeah. To me... because it gives you information about the story, and it also is kind of badass, and it kind of like screws through everything. Uh-huh. I felt like, holy shit, this is like Game of Thrones.
I was just going to say that.
Like the map of Game of Thrones and the opening sequence would give you clues as to what's going on.
I love that these new shows that if they're worth half a shit these days, they give you like weird little subtle information in the opening credits and the end credits. Mm-hmm. They give you a reason to pay attention to things.
Yes.
And I kudos. I appreciate that. You know, so anyway, Kofun, still a fucking loser. Okay.
But now we have a reason.
Yes.
So he tries to help Baba Voss, which is just hilarious because
he just botches it every time.
He's like, oh, I'm gonna help my father fight this dude. And then he gets his ass handed to him.
Well, here's the thing. So there's a Trevantian patrol who look like Roman, soldiers going through the wilderness, and Baba Voss kind of confronts them. And the first thing the guy says is, show me your knots.
Yeah.
and it's kind of like everyone has to have like identification.
Yeah.
Rope knots.
Show me your papers.
And I turned to Jude and I was like, couldn't you just like make up whatever knots you wanted? Like nobody can like tell what's official and what isn't in this world. So
there's gotta be something.
It's probably on an official string that you cannot replicate because it came from the government.
Or it has like a medallion on the top or something. There's got to be some way.
Don't think about it too hard.
Oh, we're thinking about it.
Don't think about it too hard.
But the funniest thing about this is but Baba Voss starts attacking this patrol. I think it's like a three-man patrol. And so like Baba Voss is fighting this patrol and Kofun joins in to help him out. And Kofun can't even kill a guy right.
No.
That's how useless he is.
He's useless.
Yeah, Jude, what did you want
to say? But when we first see this patrol, it's Baba Voss by himself. And like when we ended the first season, like Baba Voss had just gotten shot and he kind of looks all messed up and he's just kind of like hanging out there and he looks down and out. And this patrol comes up and he's like, show me your knots. And Baba Voss goes, you don't need to see my knots. And the guy says, why not? And in the time it just took that guy to say, why not? Baba Voss is already behind him and has a knife through his face. It's amazing.
The brutality of this first episode.
He's so fast.
Oh, it's dope.
Brutal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, did they up the brutality a
yes.
little bit?
Oh, they for did, sure. 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
They were like, you know what? This is already rated R. We might as well just go.
Let's just go with it.
Yeah. And I'm down.
I appreciated but that.
You know what's funny is so like there's a whole scene where after the guy that Kofun thinks he kills gets back up and almost kills.
He still has a sword sticking out of him.
Yeah. So Baba Voss takes a moment to kind of teach Kofun how to actually kill a guy.
I love this little teaching moment.
And Alex kind of pointed out when we were watching it, like the joy on Baba Voss's face where it's like a genuine father son moment where it's like, here's how you kill a guy.
He grabs.
Are you going to have that moment with your
kids? I hope so. He grabs his son's hands and he's like, this is what it feels like. And he stabs the dude who's already pinned against a tree, stabs the guy. And you can see like the smile, like, yeah. Does that make sense to you, son? That's how you do it. I was like, oh my God.
He can feel his life force.
Yeah, it was so crazy. But this was a major factor in our last season review where we were like, Kofun's a freaking piece of crap. He's useless. He's annoying. And we didn't know why.
He's a bad dresser.
And then like in this episode, like right at this point, we kind of get this exposition dump about Baba Voss going, dude, I'm so sorry for not teaching you how to do this because you are literally useless.
Well, I failed you as a father.
You know what's interesting is that, and I think I mentioned this in our season one recap, is that in a society where people can't see, you don't see the horrors of the violence. Like you can hear people scream, you can hear like bones crunching and stuff like that, but you never get to see the or experience the trauma of what happens to these people through the violence that you enact on them. And so you would think that this society would be far more violent because they just don't understand, you know, necessarily what it is they're doing. Whereas someone like Hanawa and Kofun, who can see the violence and see the aftermath of what happens to these people, might be traumatized by it. And so like that, it would keep them from wanting to do that. So they don't really explore that in this show all that much. You would think it would be a part of, you know, the show just because like that's part of the world building that they're doing.
Hanawa don't give a shit. Yeah. She'll kill anything. Well,
no one gives a shit.
Well, there's an interesting line in this one too, where Kofun actually takes a dig at Baba Voss. And he's like, oh, you can't see without me or something like that. Or how are you going to make it without my eyes? And Baba Voss is like, bitch, what did you just say?
He doesn't have his eyes.
We're going to get to that.
Oh, we're not there yet? Oh, okay. Continue. Go ahead then.
Yeah, so basically, there's a scene where Baba Voss kind of confiscates the armor from one of the fallen Trevantians.
Because he needs the scent of that soldier to cover up the scent of Baba Voss, because he knows he's going to infiltrate where Hanawa is.
Yeah, and so basically the plan is to go undercover into Trevanti and rescue Hanawa. And Kofun has it in his mind that like, I have to go with you, dad. And he's like, no, you need to stay here with Paris. And Kofun says like, you're going to need my eyes. Like you're not going to be able to rescue Hanawa without me. And Baba Voss is like, oh really? He just like slaps him. And Kofun being the idiot that he is, like he just completely unaware is like, can't dodge it. And he's like, what the fuck, dad? And then like, Baba Voss is like, hit me. And he's like, what? And he's like, hit me, son. Try and hit me. And so like he tries to go for Baba Voss, and Baba Voss just owns him, like, you know, just twirls him around, like gets him in a chokehold. And he's like, this is my fault, son. Your sight makes you loud and clumsy. I didn't prepare you for this. I wish I had actually trained you to be a fighter, but I trained you to be beautiful because your mother and I didn't want this life for you. And one of my big critiques of season one was that, you know, like, As their father, we should have seen Baba Voss training Hanawa and Kofun to protect themselves, because he knew that they were going to have a hard life of being hunted. He should have prepared them better. And this kind of addressed that, not really the best way to do it, but he basically apologized for not doing that. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting.
I did appreciate how they kind of addressed our concerns, our critiques of some of this stuff. In like the first 10 minutes of this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so. Like even not just like Baba Voss and Kofun having this conversation about how Kofun is useless. Like even Paris is in on the joke. I don't know if you caught it. It took me the second time watching it to catch it. But in that initial conversation where Baba Voss is like, you're going to stay here with Paris. I'm going to go do this. And Kofun immediately is like, what are you talking about? I have to go with you. And Paris goes, ooh. And it's hilarious if you catch it. Because we are all aware that Kofun is useless at
Baba Voss was so salty about that. He was like, and that's the thing that made me laugh, is he started literally slapping him around.
Yeah.
And he's like, go ahead, try to hit me. And every time he just dodges.
Slapping him around, he beat the shit out of him.
Well, yeah, but he started off with just like, whoosh, What are you doing, son? Yeah. You can't even stop me.
It's like he was like full on Daredevil in his ass.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know exactly when to bring this up, but I guess now is as good a time as any because you brought it up. The Daredevil aspect of this. So yeah. Marvel's Daredevil, he has some form of superpower.
Well, he sees like...
echolocation. But then that's like the Ben Affleck version. The new one in Marvel... on Netflix and stuff, like he doesn't quite have that same ability, but his other senses are so heightened.
But he does.
That's the thing. I think that's what is happening here.
Yeah, because they're doing that as they're walking through the woods. And I just, that's all I could think of when I saw him doing that.
Yes.
Is that he was using the sound of him to see where it reverberated off of stuff.
100%. Soldiers on patrol were clicking their tongues.
The soldiers walking through, the Trevantian soldiers walking through were using echolocation to see what was ahead of them. And that's, I think, how they knew Baba Voss was standing
there. Yeah, and I think there's an aspect of that that they haven't quite expressed to the audience yet. That's why we're kind of making fun of, like, how are these people doing these things? I think there's a, not maybe supernatural, but I think there's a superpower version.
There's a super heightened.
Something's going on here where we were kind of joking about it before.
Well, we know that certain people have different kind of abilities because of the lack of sight. So we theorize that the virus, you know, enhances certain abilities in certain people because the virus is still around. It's still robbing people of their sight. And the idea is that some people can hear really well. They're called Ariers.
Well, there's Sentiers.
So Sentiers can smell really well. And then you have like the empaths who can like can
hear better.
Who can like who can sense emotion. And you have the, like the presages who can actually like see the future, like whatever.
What is...
Magra?
No, the
Paris.
What is she?
She's a presage.
So she can kind of
see. She can talk to animals too.
She talks to nature.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, what I was saying is like, I think the opening credits kind of speaks to this as well. When you see like noises and it makes out shapes of buildings and people and stuff like that. So I think there's an element to this that we kind of just brushed off that maybe we need to readdress. Like,
well, the show's gotta never be addressed it.
Yeah, the show's never.
Yeah, they never have.
They've never directly addressed it.
So, I feel like they're beginning to like get like trickle information, which I appreciate because if they just started off with season two and they were like, here's a dump of everything we missed in season one, it wouldn't mean anything.
Well, you know,
now they're like starting to trickle out the information. Yeah, and it's kind of making it like a fun little mystery.
Mm-hmm. What I'm getting from the start of season two is that season one was literally just an introduction to characters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, I feel like we're finally just now, 2 years later, we're starting to get into a little bit and just a little bit. Of the meat of the story.
Yeah.
World is becoming bigger.
It feels like this is just like their excuse to do Game of Thrones. Like,
you know, exactly.
Like, there's a lot of like political setup in this, which brings us to Queen Cain.
Okay.
And she's basically suffering from morning sickness for having knocked some boots with Boots. So Boots is her new consort, and he obviously got her preggers. She then leads her army, or what's left of her army, to Pensa, the city of Pensa, where she meets with a new character named Lord Harlan, and she plans to reestablish a new Pyan capital here in Pensa. And Lord Harlan, you can tell that he doesn't like the idea, but he's going along with it because he plays the Game of Thrones.
I like this dude.
There's some history there.
Yeah.
I hate her.
Okay, that's perfect. So we need to talk about Queen Cain.
I hate her so
this
much.
Actress is so damn good.
Oh, she's great.
So good.
That every really time is. Her character is on screen, I physically want to throw my TV.
Because I hate her so much.
Hate her for the way she modulates her voice. I'm just like, oh, it's worse. And I'm saying this, I might regret this later. I hate Queen Cain more than I hated that fucking twit Joffrey Baratheon.
Oh, yes.
What?
Oh.
That's how bad it is. That's how good of an actress she is.
So Joffrey was just annoying. This chick makes me feel cringe down to my subatomic DNA level. I hate her.
Yeah.
I hate everything about this. And it's not because she's evil. You know, Joffrey was like, oh, I'm going to, you know,
torture somebody,
yeah, stick swords up your vagina and stuff. You know, this chick is just cringeworthy. Okay. She's just, I hate everything she's about her.
Crazy.
She's yeah, nuts. Her, the sound of her voice,
everything that she does is fucking perfection.
I just can't.
You see the videos? You're a cat person.
When she dies,
oh God,
sometime in season 12, okay, it's gonna be the glorious, greatest day of my life.
That's how I feel about the purple wedding. When Joffrey died, I was like,
yes,
that's gonna happen in this show.
It has to be painful.
Yeah.
And it has to like be visibly.
Yeah, I don't want to see her see death for her.
I want to see her like half cut off head dangling off of her corpse while she's still alive, kind of like kind of you know, trying to like see, you know, it's just like
and Baba Voss just standing there.
Yeah
I got
it's
you
just oh I hate
I got her. You
I hate everything.
Kandish, how do you feel about Queen Kane?
Well, actually, I'm a little bit more interested in Lord Harlan here because
he's pretty cool.
He's pretty cool
because Lord Harlan, you know, we instantly know that he has a long history with the Kanes. He knew them from childhood. He had like a special kind of crush on Magra, it seems, because Magra is with Kane when she kind of comes into
the capital. I have a feeling that he was like her first kiss or something.
But did you guys recognize the actor who plays Lord Harlan?
He looks familiar, but I don't know who he is.
So he played Ichabod Crane in the TV version of Sleepy Hollow.
Huh.
Did not see that.
I don't think I watched that.
I didn't either.
Is he anything else? Because I really did recognize him. I just don't know.
He's been in a few things, but that's the only thing that I recognize him
from. I thought he was good in the role.
And he's actually a British actor.
Okay.
So the fact that he comes off without an accent, very impressive. But you can tell that he is every bit as kind of cunning and ruthless as Queen Kane is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so this show actually did a lot to set up their kind of rivalry.
You bring up the Game of Thrones thing earlier. I feel very much like he's a
Peter Baelish.
Yes.
Oh yeah, Littlefinger.
Exactly. He's Littlefinger.
Yeah.
100%.
Are we just going to start making comparisons to Game of Thrones?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're basically ripping it off. It's just like a blind Game of Thrones show.
But maybe they'll get the ending right. So,
oh yeah,
we'll see how it goes.
I don't know. They haven't gotten a whole lot right quite yet. So.
Well, listen. We know that the guy who wrote this show is the guy who wrote Peaky Blinders,
Stephen Knight. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Peaky Blinders is a dope show. Never All five that. Seasons are really freaking good. Yeah, season five kind of lingered a little bit. Peaky
Blinders makes sense.
Yeah.
Like a lot in this show doesn't make any sense.
I think by the end of the season, we're going to start feeling a little bit better about it.
He was in Watchmen.
Watchmen. Oh, the TV show on HBO. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. All right. So anyway, continue. So Queen Kane, they meet, they kind of go to this new location that they're going to try and dub the new.
So it's the city of Pensa where Lord Harlan kind of rules. And Queen Kane instantly starts throwing her weight around by taking over his residence as like the highest residence. I don't know how they can tell height exactly, but Magra gets upset because she's like, you know, we're in a very precarious position. You shouldn't be making enemies. And it seems like Queen Kane, despite the fact that she's like a complete bitch, she understands like how someone like Harlan operates. And she's like, you know, it's one of those things where if he senses any weakness, that's when he'll crush us.
100%.
Yeah. So like, but Harlan's really smart where he like doesn't, you know, press back on her. He basically does everything the opposite of what Kofun would do in this situation where he kind of plays along and he's like, yes, please take my house. I'm your humble servant. Blah, blah, blah.
Meanwhile, in the background, he's got some plans going on.
Exactly. He's very different with depending on which sister he's talking to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Queen Kane, he's very like, this is a tete-a-tete. Mm-hmm. And with Magra, he's like, I'm your old pal from childhood. I have a present.
I feel like they did a little diddling back in the day. You know.
Yeah. There was something I wanted to address during.
Was it the fashion?
No, we'll get to that. But we need to get the fashion reports from Jude back. there was a scene that actually addressed one of the issues we had. But like, why are they bowing? There's no vision. Like,
they added sound to it.
Added something to it this season where they literally slap the ground with their hand to show that they are on their knees.
I'm okay with that.
And I'm like, finally, great. Thank you. Great. Yes, excellent. Uh-huh. Good job, writers.
Yeah, and when Kane walks into the grand hall of Harlan's residence, she kind of does that click with her note with her mouse. Singing. And she can hear the echo and she's like, oh, a beautiful room because it's big and cavernous.
I noticed there's a lot more of the bell with the finger, the ring thing.
Did you notice the difference between the queen's jingle and the
I didn't. Tell me about princess? It.
Well, the queen's is like there's bells on every finger and it makes a much bigger jingle. And Magra's is like two bells and it's like a lighter jingle. So that you can tell a difference between which sister it is.
Can somebody not just make bells? And like fake people out?
No.
Like, I'm royalty.
No.
Is that not a thing that can happen?
Apparently it's hard to make bells if you're blind.
Okay.
I'll allow it.
I mean, they can make swords and stuff, but bells, that takes a lot of
finesse, I guess. I don't know.
I have really small hands.
Yeah, I'm just thinking out loud. I'm like, so can anybody just put bell rings on?
Well, it goes back to my like, can't you just like fake your knots?
Yeah.
You could be like literally anyone.
Yeah, I guess.
You're asking too many questions. It must be destroyed.
I'm going to take us to a little different direction here, really quickly. I'm always fascinated at how everything is so uniform compared to according to what you do in your life.
Yeah,
this is like all the soldiers have the same uniform on.
They're all lined up.
Yeah, it's like you know, if you're royalty, you have like fancier clothes. You know. Why do people care about this stuff? I mean, I know we could do an entire 2-hour show every week complaining about blind people would not give a shit about this stuff. But it still fascinates me a little bit that all the soldiers are wearing black leather.
I think
you know what I mean?
Jude made a point when we did our season one recap where he's like, if you have the smithy of the town, hey, here's the supplies, make uniforms for all the soldiers. That those supplies are all going to be the same thing. Like here's the leather.
A scene in the show where a blacksmith or whatever touches something and goes, oh, it's military grade. I don't know how you got this. It's like, well, it's just metal.
Well, you might. I mean, the extrasensory of these people give them a little edge.
But I feel like they're addressing some of this stuff a little bit. But at the same time, they're also making us ask more questions.
How dare you?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So. Okay, before we continue the conversation, let's hear a word from some sponsors.
So the next scene is Hanawa is in a little prison and her jailer, Rin, meets with Ito Voss, a.k.a. Brainhead. Oh. And Hanawa realizes for the first time that her captor may be related to her father. And this is the first time we get to see Dave Bautista as the one and only brother of Baba Vaga.
I wish I didn't like despise him as a human being.
You what?
I do.
I had no idea.
He's just a piece of shit. But,
what?
But I like him as an actor, so we'll go with that. Okay. So it's okay.
Yeah, and the reason I call him Brainhead is because Jude always points out how rudely shaped his skull is.
Hit the top of his head looks so like a brain.
Some people have extra skin on the top of their head.
That's fine.
Have you seen
me with her? It's like me looking at that girl's boobs from Under Siege. I can't stop looking at it.
Okay. Yeah, like that. Looks like a Klingon. Yeah.
I'm giving you my brain. Oh. My brain.
Wow.
Look at that. That's awesome. What?
You're giving her your brain, huh?
My brain wrinkles.
Anyway.
But we're introduced to a new character here, which is the jailer, Rin, who's this female soldier who is very dedicated to Ito Voss. He's the only one that he entrusts with Hanawa's care because he can't technically make her a prisoner. So he's kind of keeping her under wraps. And Hanawa's been in this prison for like a month. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know what's going on. And this is the first time that she finds out who is really behind her captivity.
It took her a month to ask who you are.
Maybe he hasn't been home in a month.
Well,
I don't know.
Whatever. I'm okay with that. It didn't bother me at all.
Hanawa, I think I'm far more invested in what's going to happen to her.
I like her so much better than
Kofun. Yeah. I don't give a shit if Kofun ever shows up
again. Kofun could die. I wouldn't care.
This is nothing against the actor. He is what he is.
Terrible
character. He's doing a great job.
His character either needs a complete revamp from the writers and given an actual job in the show.
What if we get a training montage with Kofun?
Give me that.
That's cool. Let's hear it.
Baba Voss
learned to fight like a blind man.
Oh my god! And it's like,
puts a blindfold on him.
It's like a Jean-Claude Van Damme. Yeah.
He goes to some woods with a blind sensei. Uh-huh. And he just learns how to do splits.
Yeah.
It just puts a blindfold on for a year.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Yeah. Like Paris goes like, I know somebody who can teach you.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you talking about? My father's the best fighter
There's
in the
like
world.
There's like a wooden totem pole that he has to like karate chop. Yes.
And he's like, Paris is like, Baba Voss learned what he learned from this man. And it's a dude with a big white beard.
Yeah.
And he's
yeah.
like, he's like, come with me, son.
Yeah.
And he puts a blindfold on him. He's like, you are not going to take this off for a year.
Played by John Cena.
Played by John Cena.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do it. You know, I am kind of hoping that they use this show to like bring in wrestlers and get them some action chops.
Are we going to see the Hulk?
The Hulk?
Hulk Hogan?
Oh, no.
Oh, Hulk Hogan. Oh, I'm like,
are we going to see fucking
Lou Ferrigno?
Hell no. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
Are we going to see Undertaker?
No.
I want to see like Alexa Bliss and stuff.
I don't show. I don't know, but you guys China? Are the, you're the wrestling people.
China's dead.
China's dead.
Oh, God, yeah. That's right.
I don't care.
She did porn and she died.
They either just need to do a complete, like a huge story arc for Ko-Foon where he becomes not useless.
Season 3.
Yeah.
Or Ko-Foon. Just cut the fat. And get rid of him.
Yeah.
And focus on Henoa. So but anyway, continue. So
Baba Voss infiltrates Trevantis and meets with an old friend named Yakis, who is an armorer, who informs him that his brother Ito Voss has been promoted to Supreme Commander and that Henoa is most likely being held in Building 3, a secure military building.
So like Baba Voss has to get through the guard area and they've got like dogs sniffing everybody out and he has to come up with an excuse as to how he can get in the city. He's wearing the dude's armor. And there was a scene earlier that we mentioned where he like puts war paint on his face. Mm-hmm. And we're like, who's going to see the war paint?
Kadish and I had a conversation about that last night. Because I was like, oh, is he doing that to cover up the scent? And Kadish said, no, I think he's using that to cover up his face scarring.
Oh.
Which made a lot of sense.
I thought it was a scent thing.
It could be either one.
Could be both.
The problem with the show is they don't bother to explain anything.
Yeah.
So like it's so up in the air where it's like, it could be this, could be that, or it could just be... He's putting on war paint for some stupid reason. You just don't know.
Because Jason Momoa is like, I look really badass with war paint on. Like, you could do that. It's very true. I mean, it does look badass for our benefit. It's like, oh, he looks like a freaking badass. That's cool. But in the show's context, we're not quite sure why he's doing that. But anyway, he makes it through the guard gate. The dog starts sniffing him out. But for some reason, the guy who's like guarding the city is like, you're good. You can go ahead. I guess he passed the test. I don't know what the test was.
Well, he got his identification knots and he said, like, you're Captain So-and-so. What are you doing back? Because your unit's supposed to be out there. And Baba Voss says, I've come to do a casualty report. And the guard's like, that's kind of odd, isn't it? And he's like, not if you have casualties. And so there's a tense moment where the guy's like sniffing him and the dogs are there. And he's like, okay, you can go through. The biggest thing for me, though, is so like as Baba Voss enters Trevantis, which is actually Pittsburgh, it's this big, wide open area. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, how does he navigate this? Like, how are blind people navigating this massive city?
So Jude mentioned it and we kind of speculated. This is Baba Voss's hometown.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
He's in his home niche right now. So he kind of knows. You might be able to criticize that. Like, how does he know where he's going? But if he grew up there... Then he would have...
But he hasn't been there for like 25 years.
Also, did you notice the wires up ahead that he was using his sword to like direct him?
Yeah.
Well, another interesting thing was, so at a certain point, as he's going to meet with Yakis, he goes through a little bazaar and there's like a musician there and they're singing like a very kind of modern pop song. And there are all these vendors kind of like yelling their wares. And there's this like horror... You know, peddler, like this pimp, basically.
Poor peddler. Yeah. That's my new favorite word. Yeah.
So there's this pimp there. And Jude, do you want to tell the guys what he says?
Well, the only reason I caught it was because we had the subtitles on. And this, it's just in the background. They never show him. But you hear this guy saying, like, oh, like fresh pussy or whatever. And he goes, look at these beauties. And I went, did he just say, look at these beauties? And we had to rewind it and play it again.
No way.
He 100% says, look at these beauties.
Yeah, literally. And it says it in the subtitles too, where it says, look at these beauties, because he's got like his whores in front of him.
Yeah. In like a lineup. Look at
these beauties. Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's like, way to go, show. Like, you really know what world you're living in.
These are the things that we catch. You have to be on your game, guys.
I love things like that about this show, though.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we forgot everybody was blind.
So back at Pensa, Lord Harlan senses there may be some discord between Magra and the Queen. Queen Kane has some of Pensa's guards dispatched to look for Magra's family. And while Harlan hints that he knows the queen destroyed Kanzua herself, putting her on edge. And this is a great scene where basically like Queen Kane, like once she's alone with Harlan, she's like, so are we going to have a real conversation now? And so like, that's when like we kind of get their little like tete-a-tete.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very much like Cersei versus Littlefinger type thing. Like power is power.
And then it turns out Boots was there the whole
time. Yeah, the
time.
Funniest thing, like Boots just like in the corner, like he's just watching everything. Just chilling. Like no one knows he's there.
So, did you catch the vulnerability in her voice when she said his name though? Because she has this little exchange with Lord Harlan and she's very like, how she is. And then once he leaves, she very vulnerably says, Boots?
Yeah. She's like, oh, are you still here? Yeah. Like, are you protecting me?
And then it cuts to Boots and he's like, what?
What's up? And then it turns out he's there. And then she's like, get the fuck out.
I don't like Boots at all.
Just the nuance with this queen. Oh God, the actress is so good.
She sells it. She does her job very well.
Yeah.
But I don't like Boots.
And then after that, so like she's worried that Harlan's kind of onto her game about like she was actually the one who destroyed Kanzua. And that could, you know, be very problematic for her if that got out.
Oh, and she says something very telling too about like the state of her craziness is if the queen says it, it's not a lie. So she is convinced that no matter what she says is the truth because she's the queen and therefore she's, you know, on the same par as God.
Yeah. So who knows the actual truth about what happened?
Just Magra and Boots. And the handmaiden for the queen.
Is she still alive? I thought she died.
She's still there.
No, she's not.
No, not the original handmaiden, the one that she found at the Silk City.
Who
recruited Boots for her.
Okay.
But Lord Harlan meets with his brother Kerrigan after he kind of shakes Queen Kane's cage a bit. And there's a suggestion there that he gets some leverage to help use against the queen, which Jude and I theorized was the possible abduction of Kofun because it seems to be a person that they're talking about. And in the very next scene, Kofun and Paris are found by Harlan's witch hunters who take Kofun back to Pensa to be reunited with Magra while Paris stays behind at the rendezvous point to meet with Baba Voss should he ever return.
Okay.
Kofun is slightly less useless in this scene.
But he's in charge of escaping with Paris. And I was like, oh, that's definitely going
to
fail.
And a blind army still manages to, you know, corner him.
They're witch hunters. They're trained.
Yeah. So there's...
Like he can literally hear the dogs barking. He knows where they are. And he just keeps leading Paris towards them. Yeah. I mean, it's so stupid. Like just a little bit of agency for Kofun would go a long way.
A little bit, right? Do you feel bad for Kofun?
No.
I feel bad for the show because the writers are so stupid with him.
They just don't do his character.
I feel bad for the actor.
Yeah.
Who's like, hey, we got you this character. Oh, cool. I'm in an Apple Plus TV show character, like main character.
Oh, by the way. I'm a dipshit.
You're a dipshit.
Okay, yeah.
Well, the funniest part of this scene is so that like when the head witch finder, whose name is Toad, reveals that Magra is alive, Paris and Kofun don't believe her at first because they thought that she was dead. And then Paris puts her hand on his chest and she's like, oh, he's telling the truth.
Yeah.
And she's such an overactor in this scene too. She's like, oh, he's the truth.
His life force never wavered a bit. So, I was like, couldn't you have used that? Oh, I don't know. Back when Boots was lying to you.
Nobody wanted to touch Boots.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like they do have plot convenient superpowers.
For sure.
And I'm okay with superpowers as long as it's consistent and if you explain who has what kind of superpowers.
Here's where I think we're going with the twins. So Haniwa is obviously the fighter.
Yeah.
She has the bloodlust. She understands like weapons. She can fight. So she's like the brawn. And where I think and hope that we're going with Kofu is I hope that he turns out to be the brain because he was always the one who was very like in the books, reading the stories.
Yeah.
I hope he turns out to be like some kind of mastermind.
So like a good example of that is in season one when they're at the sex orgy and she's like, they can't see. Look at, well, you can
and
see.
He's like, and he's like,
shut the hell up. You're going to get us killed.
Yeah.
That's a good moment of like, she's not as intelligent as he is, correct, but she can fight better than he can.
Yeah.
So there's a give and take there. I really want them to give him some kind of agency.
It seems like they're setting it up so that he's going to be taken back to Pensa. He's going to be exposed to Harlan and Queen Kane. and all these like he's big gonna uncover, political players.
Yeah.
And I feel like they've set it up so like him and Boots are going to be kind of like adversaries.
Yes.
And he's going to learn the Game of Thrones while he's in Pensa. And he's going to be like the big kind of like political, like Tyrion mm-hmm. Lannister guy going forward.
I freaking hope so. I hope they bring him back. I'd be so stoked if I had.
Well, if they don't do something like that, they're kind of missing the mark, right?
So, well, they've been doing that a lot.
Yeah. Name a mark they hit. Right, this is a show about blind people. Okay. Right. So back at Trevanti, Hanawa confronts Rin about knowing that her jailer actually has the gift of sight. Mm. And Hanawa tries to escape and almost kills Rin, but ultimately can't bring herself to kill another person with the gift of sight.
So Jude, while we were watching this, literally like seconds after these two she were on screen,
shipping them hardcore.
She was like, oh, they're going to F.
Yeah.
You guys.
Are you telling me you didn't see the sexual chemistry in that scene?
I didn't see it.
Gazing into each other's eyes. They were fighting. It was physical. It was getting sexy. And the history of Hanawa is that she never wanted to marry a dude.
Yeah.
She thinks blind people are gross. I would never make a baby with a blind person. She's not into dudes. She's into this.
So she's
a lesbian. She's okay. So what was funny was like Jude called that like seconds after they were on screen together. And I laugh because the more I watched and Jude's like, you see that? Did you see that look that he gave her? I'm like, oh my God, she's right.
All right.
You're 100% right.
These two are going to bang.
If you are not correct in within the next four episodes, you owe me $50. Otherwise, I will give you $50. Mark that down, guys. You can call me out on Discord. All right, so what happens after that, Kadesh?
All right, so next, Queen Cain makes a speech to all of Pensa, claiming that the Trevantians destroyed Kanzua when their spies discovered that she was giving birth to a child with the power of sight, essentially plunging Pensa into a war with Trevantis.
Even though she got pregnant
much to Lord Harlan's chagrin.
Okay, so this was the big, I think, like the season one premiere moment, right? Queen Cain's pregnant with... Yeah. Boots's kid, who she's assuming is going to be sighted. But Madra makes a note. She's like, you don't actually know.
I mean, all of Jerla Morel's kids can see.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know exactly how that genetically works, but whatever. I guess if they're immune to the virus, I guess it transfers down generation to generation.
Yeah, I guess what you're really passing down is an immunity to this virus.
Yeah, yeah. So that I guess in a way that makes sense. But still, I don't know exactly how that would work.
Well, it was also interesting because Queen Cain decided to get out ahead of the scheduled date where she was going to make a speech about Pensa becoming the new capital. And Lord Harlan thought he had like 3 days to prepare for that, but Queen Cain kind of like came in and undercut him. And so at the minute that she announced that the Trevantians were responsible for what happened at Kanzua, Harlan kind of realizes what that is implying, and he's just like, fuck.
Yeah.
And he just like walks away.
Because
we're going to get our asses kicked.
Yeah. Because they just basically declared war against one of the most formidable armies of the area.
And they pan across like the crowd at.
There's not that many people there.
What is it? Pensa?
Pensa.
Pensa. They pan across the crowd at Pensa. And these are all just like.
Normal people.
Normal people. They're just pilgrims all or
dressed
whatever.
In very colorful clothing.
Yeah. But like the people at Trevante?
Trevantes.
There's.
Why am I asking you? but like these are all warriors.
Yeah.
You know, like so you're basically asking these people to come and slaughter you.
Yeah, yeah. So Queen Cain basically declared war against a superior force, and everybody else is like, "Oh crap!" Oh,
and you could hear a pin drop because nobody's on board.
Yeah, right. the one thing I did notice about the crowd. So last season we kind of made fun of like, how are these people doing this kind of stuff? We ask a lot of questions about how a blind society works. In this particular scene, I think the vast majority of people all had a walking stick and or some kind of a cane.
Every single one of them.
Every single one, which really means a lot because if you think about a blind society, they're all going to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And throughout this first episode, which we didn't see in the first season, Baba Voss is using his weapons to do the same thing.
And he's doing sweeps.
Yeah.
He did it once in a while during like fights and stuff, but like everyday movement, he wasn't doing it. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice to see. Like, I think they're starting to kind of realize
tying up those knots.
Got it. All right, Kadesh, what happened next?
All right. So Yakis hooks Baba Voss up with a man who can lead him to a heating vent that might be able to bring him to Building 3. Baba Voss braves the heating vent and barely makes it out alive, only to find out he's been betrayed and has emerged into an ambush. Baba then has to fight his way out, killing many guards, until a child who can see alerts the soldiers of Baba Voss's movements, and they use a net, his only weakness, to finally capture him.
Because of all the knots.
So Baba Voss goes into the underbelly of this city where it's all coal and the
forges.
Yeah,
and
the forges.
And they make it a point to say that if you're down there for longer than 30 heartbeats, you're dead.
And then he's down there for
7 minutes.
Yeah, he's down there for a while. He's just crawling through hot freaking coal and he's just trushing through. I'm like, nah, you're dead, bro.
Fire don't got shit on Baba Voss's guns.
I guess. But anyway, he pops out of this grate and obviously he's getting betrayed. So there's dudes already there waiting for him. They're like, haha, you're a moron. You thought this was Building 3. Now we're going to take you in and we're going to get the reward. And he slaughters them, which is fantastic. Every time Baba Voss freaking...
Did you see him take that guy's leg off?
Yes.
Badass. That's pretty gnarly.
Dope. I'm glad that they're leaning heavy on the gore. Yeah. I'm all right with that. It makes up for some of the other stupid things.
I was really afraid at the end of season one that Baba Voss was done and we were going to move forward into season two without him.
Oh, God.
And this show, so sad for it. And now that I know he's already been filming his scenes for season three, I'm so excited.
So for everybody who makes this show, if Jason Momoa is not involved through the entirety, we will not be watching this.
I don't think they give a shit. Also, I'm just going to start flipping tables wherever I go in response to Jason Momoa not being on this show.
Anyway, the scene was really cool, but you brought up something about the kid who can see. So Ito Voss, he's the one who's the Grandmaster General or whatever this title is.
Commander General.
Yeah. He seems to be building some kind of sighted sub version of his army so that he has the upper hand in a battle.
They did comment in the show at some point. I forget. I think it was with the Hanawa and the other girl that the Trevantians aren't as superstitious and weird about the witches who can see. So it makes a little bit sense to me that they can utilize them.
Yeah.
When they need to.
So Baba Voss,
she also said she's had to hide her sight too, because she would definitely be executed for having sight. So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it seems contradictory.
It's not that she's a witch. It's that they look at her as inferior because of
the sight. Because it makes her clumsy.
Yeah.
Possible. But Baba Voss is trying to escape. And this little kid, I don't know, nine, something like that. He starts screaming the direction that Baba Voss is going. He's going left. He's going to the other direction. He's calling out so that the army can kind of dial in on where Baba Voss is. Baba Voss gets the upper hand on this kid, covers his mouth.
Yeah, he uses his teleportation power to catch up with him.
Poof, pops over, covers his mouth. And does he say something to him?
He says, shush.
Yeah, he's like, shh, stop talking. And then he lets him go.
And the kid goes, okay.
Okay, no problem.
Baba Voss gets three steps away and the kid's like, he's going that way.
It was the dumbest thing.
Yeah, you think Baba Voss, he may not kill the kid, but he'd at least punch him or knock him out or something like that.
God, can you imagine?
Rip his tongue out.
God, can you imagine a TV show where Jason Momoa punches the shit out of a 9-year-old?
That'd be your favorite fucking show, dude.
Love it. He totally should have knocked that kid out though. So that was kind of one of those dumb things where why didn't you knock the dude out? And that they addressed it later where after he gets captured, Ito Voss.
So they did capture him.
Yeah. Yeah, they capture him. And then later on, we get to see Ito Voss.
So the next scene is basically in a dungeon. Baba Voss is all chained up.
Sex dungeon.
And Ito Voss finally meets with his brother for the first time in 25 years. Baba Voss begs Ito to let Hanawa go. But Ito is intent on showing no mercy to his brother, who, it turns out, killed their father.
Ooh. More Game of Thrones stuff. Dun,
dun. Yeah. And in that scene, he does mention that it was a mistake not to kill a child in order to escape from my guards.
Basically called him a weak bitch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which.
Well, Kadesh had a good point. We rewatched the episode last night and he was like, why didn't he just take that kid and make him navigate him through the city to get away? And I was like, yeah, he really should have done
that. Do you think the kid would have done that, or he would have
he was under threat?
If he would have tricked him, oh no, go left. Totally, dude. And it would have just led him to the armory or something. Anyway, Thoughts on...
Oh, there's one more scene.
Is there another scene?
So
did I leave too early?
While Paris is alone waiting for Baba Voss, six mysterious figures emerge at her campsite, and she invites them for tea.
Do we have any speculation as to who these are?
I have no clue.
I have no clue either. I hope... This just literally just popped into my head.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yes.
But also, if they get Jean-Claude Van Damme in the
dude!
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
Oh, season four?
I'm here to teach you Kofun. Yeah.
This will be the greatest show. What if he's the master? What if he's the dude who teaches Kofun how to fight?
he shares his gift with Kofun.
Holy shit.
All right. But when Kofun was being taken away, he's like, I can't leave you alone to Paris. And Paris is like, don't worry, I won't be alone. And so when these six figures show up, you get the sense that she either contacted them or was waiting for them because she doesn't seem scared.
I have no idea who that's going to be.
Hobbits.
Well, I guess we'll find out in a couple days.
Yeah, we'll find out in a couple days. But where is the badass dude with the white beard?
I know.
He didn't show up at all in this episode.
I'm worried.
I was going to mention that the albino was
maybe it's Tamaka June and his boys.
That's what I was thinking.
Maybe he stayed behind because Tamaka June did survive.
Or it could be Joel and Morel's kids who are looking for revenge or something.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I really don't want to ever mention that dude's name ever again.
No, that was so boring. His House of Enlightenment.
Ugh, burned
down.
That
was kind of lame.
It was dumb.
Yeah.
I'm glad Baba Voss popped his eyes out.
Season 2 is off to a good start.
It is. So that's what I was going to say. Your opening thoughts on season 2, episode 1, Vader.
I'm in, man. I mean, I don't really. I don't have a whole lot to say because we've talked about it for God knows how long now. But yeah. I let's go. Let's go. Episode 2. I'm into this more now than I was after episode 1 of season 1.
Okay. I was going to ask you, because when we do like show reviews of like Marvel TV shows, you're by the time episode 2, you're like clocked out.
I'm out.
Like I'm out. I don't give a shit.
I'm dialed in here. I'm ready to go.
I feel like you're more excited for this show than you have been previously. Sure. Okay.
I don't feel like I'm being preached at or anything. I feel like they're just trying to entertain me.
Yeah.
And that's all I want.
Cool.
So,
Jude, how about you? What's your thoughts on?
I mean, I was in when I saw the trailer for season 2. I'm so invested in this. I'm so excited for it. I can't wait to see where it goes. Like my headcanon is about to explode.
Yeah. There's so many different ways it could go.
I know.
That's what's fun about
it. There's so much good stuff that could happen. And if it doesn't, I'll be very upset.
Yeah.
But I'm just here for it. I'm here for the ride.
Can you imagine if they got Jean-Claude Van Damme involved?
Showrunners. Kenya.
Bro.
I mean, Kenya.
Bro.
Let's do it.
JCVD. How do you say JCVD, but in like a name? Jisvid. 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 That's his name in the show.
Jakovid.
No, it should just be Clicks. That's his name.
They call him Splits.
Splits.
His name is
Splits. All right. Matthew Kadish. I think you have some interesting thoughts because you used to love this show because of how much you can make fun of it. But now, has that changed? Are you in?
No. I did not like this season premiere specifically because, as you stated earlier, the show is much more fun when it's out and out stupid.
Aww, and did they break your spirit?
They're trying too hard to make this show good.
But it's working.
I know it's working. That's my problem with it. I want to hate watch this show. I want to pick it apart because it's so freaking dumb. And I don't like it when they try to fix things. I want them to go in the opposite direction. So
basically what you're saying is that the showrunners are doing a good job with season 2.
They're doing too good of a job. I don't want them to do good. I want them to continue what they were doing before so that I can continue to loathe this show and pick it apart.
A ridiculous human.
I have more fun like destroying shows I hate than I do watching shows that I like. So.
13,000 water bottles, guys. Remember that? That was great.
200 years.
Okay, so for me, this is definitely, I'm in Jude's camp. I'm in.
I'm so
freaking sold. I know we made fun of the first season because of its ridiculousness, but I'm so happy that they've kind of pivoted.
No, the show's ridiculous, but it doesn't mean we can't be in.
It's still ridiculous, but it's also makes more sense now than it did before. And as long as they're not going to go like the back, what are the aunt and nephew characters from the first season? Like
Suter and Gether Bax.
Yeah, yes. Gether Bax. Like, leave that behind. That was ridiculous and annoying. I do miss them. They're going in a direction that I'm in for.
Yeah.
And I'm down.
I love where it's headed.
Yeah, I do too. And the fact that we kind of like, we're getting this political maneuvering from all the new characters, I'm stoked to see where all that ends up. Mm-hmm. I really hope Queen Cain dies in a horrific way. I hope Boots gets killed by Kofun. I hope Kofun becomes a badass. Like,
what if
Boots is going to kill Kofun?
We get a training montage with Kofun. He becomes a badass and he's the one that kills Queen Cain.
Ooh.
I'm in.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm in.
I think I just ruined the show. Nah. Especially for Kadish.
So
he's like, oh, that sounds awesome. One of the fucking hate this show now.
One of the things that Game of Thrones did so well was they turned characters that you hated into characters that you loved. Mm-hmm. So characters that we hate, Kofun.
Mm-hmm. Queen Cain.
Queen Cain.
Queen Cain. Who else do we got? Boots. Tamok Djoon. Boots. Mm-hmm. Tamok Djoon, we kind of loved, but he was also the bad guy.
Yeah. I liked Tamok Djoon in the first season.
Yeah.
And he's probably dead.
I hope not.
I think he's going to surprise everyone.
I hope so.
The albino dude needs to come make a comeback.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope they get that guy back.
Yes.
Well, what if albino guy went back and resuscitated Tamok Djoon?
Yes.
And at the end of the season, after they defeat the Trevantians, Tamok Djoon's new army shows up and he's like, bring it, bitch.
Yes.
I got goosebumps.
Tamok Djoon's the one who reveals that she destroyed Kanzua.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everyone turns against her.
Yes.
See, all right, let's do it. There's so much good shit.
So much potential.
But we're far better writers than the ones working on the show. So.
Hush. We'll find out. All right, guys, that's it for episode one of C. If you haven't seen this show, go check it out. Yeah. Make sure you have some cocktails.
The showrunners probably listen to our show and they're like, yeah, that's a good idea. Write that down.
Okay. Get me Jean-Claude Van Damme stat.
Literally. I'm not even joking. I've looked for reviews of this show.
Nobody's talking
There's
about this.
There's none out there.
Yeah. Which makes me think, why isn't anyone talking about this?
We're the only ones.
This show's amazing.
I've Googled. Really I've searched pages of YouTube. Yeah. Nobody's talking about the show. We're the only ones.
Let's point it out more so more people can horn in on our action.
Yeah. No. I'm just going to start walking into places and saying chet chet and see what happens.
Chet, chet.
And if anyone else says chet chet chet, those are my people.
Give them a pamphlet for the podcast. All right, guys.
I think there's probably a reason why no one's talking about this show.
You're such a downer.
You're giving it credit for it.
Way better than you're giving it credit for.
All right, guys.
Well, you know what's funny is there's not a lot of talk about any of the Apple TV original shows.
True.
Like
Mythic Quest was
great
brilliant.
Great show.
No one's talking about Mythic Quest.
Servant.
I think that once Foundation starts up, we'll probably see some stuff with it. Yeah. But there's another show coming out called Invasion.
Oh, that looks
really good.
Yeah, that looks really great.
But C is such a guilty pleasure.
Oh, yep.
And you would think that it would have like a little like hardcore community around it, but nobody really seems to care or talk about it.
It's forming.
It's going to be us. We're going to be at the center of it.
We're doing it.
All right, guys. That's it. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget, if you love what we do here, go to saltynerdclub.com and become a Patreon and get access to all kinds of really cool stuff. And if not that, at least like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Share this video with your friends. If you're a fan of this TV show, share the video. Get the word out. Make more people watch C because it's kind of fun.
Exactly.
Vader, where can they find you on the socials?
You can find me at MattVader74 on the Twitter and the Instagram and the things, and Matt Vader on Facebook.
Oh, and, that's right.
Facebook.
Every Saturday, right?
Well,
are you guys doing the Home Gang?
I think we're doing Home Gang again.
Home Gang is back.
So yeah, I think so.
Hell yeah. Nice.
We'll see.
All right, Jude, where can they find you?
You can find me at I Am Jude Juju on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
All right, Matthew Kadish.
You can find me at Matthew Kadish, K-A-D-I-S-H on Twitter, and KadishBooks.com takes you to my Amazon page. Also, please go to saltylist.com and sign up for our newsletter. I'm going to be starting that up real soon.
Excellent. And I am your host, The Salty Nerd. You can catch me on our Discord app. Go to saltynerddiscord.com. Hop in there. I will give you a role. We can chat. We can hang out. We do live streaming for video games. We do editing podcasts. We all do all kinds of really fun stuff. Our Discord is growing, and we want more people in to build the community. So head over there and chat with us. Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. Stay tuned next week for season 2, episode 2. And as always, stay salty, my friends.